Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is Brian Albrecht, your host and president of Mission Go. Today, our scripture reading is taken from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, beginning of verse 12, which says, "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how does some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty." These verses sort of pick out a dilemma that we see in today's society. There are many who are saying that Christ really didn't die, that some say he's not even God. And of course, those things we know are not true. I mean, he proved who he was when he was on earth. People were raised from the dead. He preached the good news of the kingdom. He was able to heal the blind. He fed 5,000 and then 4,000. Miracles that have never been repeated in history and will not be repeated because he was the God-man. He did go to the cross. He did bear our sins in his own body. He did die. And he did rise on the third day, and the tomb is definitely empty. They haven't found Jesus' body yet. You can find Muhammad's body. You can find bodies of other leaders of religious orders. But you can't find the Lord Jesus' body. He did rise from the dead, and he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. And of course, this same chapter gives very many illustrations of all the people. 500 people saw Jesus in his resurrection body as he walked around on earth and as he spoke and as he allowed people to touch him and as he ate in that resurrection body. What a great body that is. And that body is promised to those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ. We will have the same kind of body that Jesus does, and we'll be able to serve, and we'll be able to do the things throughout eternity to serve him because of those bodies.
Stormy waters all around me, waves are rough and rolling high.
But amidst it all,
I plainly see, there's the fairest of all havens, and the keeper hears my cry.
'Tis the Rock of Ages,
Rock of Ages,
cleft for even me.
Stormy waters round me,
thunders roll, how the mighty billows
toss my soul,
Lord, I find sweet comfort.
Lord, I find sweet comfort
when I look at sea.
'Tis the Rock of Ages,
Rock of Ages,
cleft for me, for even me. Now the homeland I am nearing, harbor lights come into view,
and the welcome bells
ring out so free. Just a few short days of sailing, then I'll have a life that's new.
'Tis the Rock of Ages,
Rock of Ages,
cleft for even me.
Stormy waters round me,
thunders roll,
how the mighty billows
toss my soul,
Lord, I find sweet comfort.
When I look and see,
'tis the Rock of Ages,
Rock of Ages,
cleft for even me.
Stormy waters round me,
thunders roll,
how the mighty billows
toss my soul, Lord, I find sweet comfort when I look and see.
'Tis the Rock of Ages.
Good morning. Welcome back to Global Times. Dennis Campbell here, standing in for Dr. Albrecht for our edition. And again, we have in the office Melissa Vandermeer, our communication director, who's going to share some exciting stories and events that she receives to communicate to you. Melissa?
Yes, so we've had a lot of exciting things going on at our mission recently. And some of those things you had asked me to share about, we've actually had the privilege of many missionaries coming to us and wanting to do different fundraising projects. They can set up their own fundraising projects on our website, and they can send out their newsletters to their donors and their churches. So a lot of times, we're able to partner with our missionaries and help them through that. Recently, we've had the privilege of leading a fundraising for an orphanage in India, and we've been able to help them with a roof project. The kids were actually physically getting sick, and the roof was leaking so bad that there was standing water in some of the parts of the orphanage. So our team here reached out to their friends and family and churches, and we were able to, as a mission, reach out and support that orphanage and give them a full roof. So it was such a blessing, and that was in India, but we also have other examples. Sierra Leone, they have a special ministry there for young children, specifically girls at risk. We heard that they were doing rainy season, and you know, there's a lot of flooding during rainy season. Sometimes when they're trying to get their daily water or going to school, their shoes give out on them if they even have any. And so I was approached. Dennis, your wife actually came and talked to some of the ladies at my church, and we were able to raise money for 50 rain boots. So it's so exciting. Whether the project is huge, whether it's a small project, it's such a blessing to be able to impact lives across the globe.
And it is such a challenge in communication, isn't it? Because these ministries you just gave as an example today don't always have the understanding or contact in North America at the local church. So we have to use these technologies and medias to tell the story so that people can understand the faithful working in the field.
Yes, absolutely.
Melissa, also communicate a little bit. Tell us the story, even how the missionaries themselves and some of our national ministries, because they can't travel here, they've been very faithful in the field. They have very productive ministries. They're facing persecution.
Yes.
So that's why these types of communication links are so critical. Is
that
correct?
Oh, it is critical. You really want your faces in front of your donors and churches, and whether you can't be in front of them physically, especially during these COVID times, we actually have the privilege here of Mission Go of holding their ropes back home. So when they send us their digital newsletters, we actually in turn make hard copies and send them out to their churches and donors. We receive phone calls as well. And so we're super eager to help our missionaries in any way we can.
Yes, we often forget in many churches they have deleted so many services when a missionary would have come and given a report in the field, and that's been lost in so many parts of North America. And so these ways of communication of what the Lord's doing in around the world have become critical.
Oh, absolutely. Whether it's hard copy or digital or even social media, that has taken a whole nother role. And we actually train our missionaries when they're here with missionary orientation on social media, because that has become an effective tool and outlet to keep their donors knowing what's going on in the day-to-day lives.
Yes, it's interesting. We're speaking today on radio, which has been reliable. But we know this broadcast also goes out across the internet, and now we have an audience around the world who are listening to the broadcast. So all roads, as the early Roman road was built to spread the gospel, we're using these waves, sound waves, to get the word out across the world. Well, thank you for coming in again. Next week, I'd like to start about some of the more dramatic stories you've recently heard. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. As you're aware, this is a listener-supported program, and we cannot continue to be on the air without the support of our listeners. And of course, everyone that writes in, we do pray for. This month, we're offering a wonderful pamphlet entitled Understanding the Book of Revelation. If you always were unsure about how to interpret Revelation, this booklet will really help you. It has different approaches to key topics. It has simple outlines of symbols and events, and it compares the different views of how you interpret Revelation. It's a booklet that can really help you instantly understand prophecy and future events, and it even has the four views that will help you determine if the Lord is coming soon. In my view, where I'm looking forward to the Lord's soon return, the rapture of the church, and of course that's one of the four views that's written out there. That's one of the views that's listed. I'm sure that your spiritual life will be richly blessed by getting this booklet. You can write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Please write us this week. Today's message is from Dr. Fred Hartman and is found in Revelation chapter 6 about the sealed judgments and the tribulation. Printed copies are available upon request.
The last time we were together, we examined the first half of the sixth chapter of Revelation. In that study, we looked at the first four sealed judgments that will come upon the earth during the tribulation period. To remind you of what they were, we'll give you a very brief description of them. When the first seal was opened, we saw the Antichrist coming to try to conquer the world. The second seal brought war to the earth. The third one brought famine, and the fourth brought death to one-fourth of the population of the earth. Though these events seem to be most severe, they will seem very small as we look at the rest of the seals, trumpets, and vile judgments yet to come. All of this is to prepare the earth for God's King, Jesus Christ, to return to rule and to reign for 1,000 years. Today we begin our study with the breaking of the fifth seal, found in Revelation 6, verse 5. When the Lamb opens the seal, we are taken from the earth to a scene in heaven. Under the altar there, he sees the souls of those who were martyred for their faith in Christ and their testimony for him during the tribulation. I get the sensitivity that this was a huge number. Immediately, we ask ourselves the question, where did they come from? If the church was taken up at the rapture, there would have been no believers here. How did they come to the Lord and get killed for their faith? If believers were gone, how did they get saved during the tribulation? After all, they had to become believers somehow, or they would not be in heaven. How could this be? I believe the Bible is very clear on this, but we have to search a little bit to find it. I also believe that this will be a great number of people. Let me try to explain why. In the first place, there's no reason to believe the Bible will not be available to read. Many people have been and will be saved by reading the Bible. My own pastor was saved by reading a Gideon Bible in a hotel in Washington, D.C. In the second place, though the Holy Spirit will not be here as he is during the church age, he will serve as he did under the Old Testament economy. He came and went, rather than indwelling believers. But he did draw people to God like Abraham, Moses, and David, as well as many others. We will also see in chapter 7 that there will be 144,000 Jews who will be saved and sealed, 12,000 out of each tribe. This fact alone eliminates the possibility of them being Gentiles. It is pretty obvious they will take the message of Christ to the world. In chapter 7, verse 9, we find a great multitude no one could number, coming out of nations, kindreds, people, and tongues, who were before the throne of God. Furthermore, in chapter 11, we find the two witnesses who will perform all kinds of miracles and serve the Lord for 3.5 years before they will be slain. Then they will be resurrected. We have to believe these will certainly be a great testimony to the world. Finally, in Revelation 14, we learn of another angel who will fly into the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to the people who live upon the earth. So then we must conclude that many will be saved during the tribulation. There's also another principle that God has always followed. He always administers grace before he brings judgment. May I just remind you of grace that came for 120 years before the flood. Also, there was a chance to flee from Sodom and Gomorrah before it was destroyed. God is always consistent with himself and is desirous that all might be saved. As we go back to some of the details that will happen when the fifth seal is opened, we immediately see in verse 10 that they were praying a specific prayer. They were crying out very loudly, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" The response was a simple one. They would have to wait a while longer because more believers had to die and join them. God was in the process of dealing with this earth in preparation for his Son to return. Those in the world who do not know the Lord will not even begin to comprehend that the Lord is preparing the earth for his takeover. Both today and in this period to come, those of the world think they can get away with their sinning and mocking of God. As we look at the world situation today, the earth is full of sin, confusion, and chaotic situations, with world leaders having no answers. Many Christians are asking why God doesn't intervene, or at least do something. There's a very simple reason. We still have a job to do, to reach those last souls for Christ. Meanwhile, his plans are in place and will be fulfilled in his perfect timing. As we look at the awful price many believers will have to pay during the tribulation, we should join with them in praying that the Lord will come soon. It does not appear that the world situation is improving. Many of God's people are already being persecuted, and in some countries they are paying a terrible, terrible price. We can cry out with the Apostle John, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." What we have just said leads us into the sixth seal that follows right after this one. It leads right into an anarchy upon the earth. We find this seal given in chapter 6, verses 12 through 17. If you think the previous seals brought a lot of judgment and destruction upon the earth, things get much worse here, and will continue to do so as we see the trumpets and vials which follow. First of all, there will be a great earthquake. The Greek word used here has the idea of a seismic shaking. It is like a great wind would shake a tree, but this will shake the whole earth. Earthquakes are recorded several times in the Bible, but none like this one. Paul and Silas were released from prison by an earthquake. There was also one when Jesus was crucified. Furthermore, when this earthquake hits, the sun will be blackened as sackcloth of hair. When this earthquake takes place, the earth will be enshrouded in thick darkness. This alone is enough to be scary. But this is not all that will happen. The heavens will roll up like a scroll. To be honest, I do not know exactly what this means, but God is going to do something very spectacular in the heavens. Along with this, the mountains will fall and the islands of the sea will be moved out of their place. There will be tremendous geographic changes upon the earth. Fear will grip the people on the planet. This will bring about the anarchy of which we spoke previously. All the people of the earth, from kings and mighty men, all the way down to the average working person, and even those who are slaves, will try to flee. They will hide in the rocks and caves, hoping to escape God's wrath. Terrified isn't even the word for it. When have we ever seen people on the earth have this kind of fear? The answer is never. I can't imagine how terrified these people will be. Now we come to the most interesting part of this sixth seal judgment. The inhabitants will know from whom the judgment has come upon them. They realize it is from the hand of God himself. Because of this, they will plead for the mountains and for the rocks to fall upon them so that they might be hidden from the face of God that sits upon his throne as well as the wrath of the Lamb. They feel that death will end it all and will beg for it. They know that should they live, things will only get worse and it will be too much for them. Sadly, they miss the whole point of what God is doing. He is shaking the very foundations of the earth that unsaved people might still turn to him. Instead, they will only blaspheme God all the more and reject his great salvation offer through faith in Christ. There are some verses in Hebrews 10 that stand out in relation to this event which we're considering. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sacrificed an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 10, verses 26 to 31. The people who will go through this sixth seal will have had every opportunity to turn to Christ. As earlier mentioned, there will be the 144,000, the two witnesses, and the flaming angel that takes the gospel to the ends of the earth, but they will not listen. They will cry out for the rocks and for the mountains to fall on them, thinking that death will spare them from facing God. Revelation 9:21 and 16:11 describes their condition so well. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. The last verse of chapter 6 sums up the events that will take place when the sixth seal is opened. For the great day of wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? I do not believe anyone, believer or unbeliever, can even get close to having an understanding of God's wrath. It will be poured out in a very harsh manner during the tribulation period. But why does God do it? As we've already pointed out, He's preparing the earth for His Son Jesus to come back and take over this planet. However, there's also another reason, and that possibly involves you. As God pours out His wrath, His desire is that those who have not come to Him by faith in His Son Jesus Christ might come to Him. The wrath of God during the tribulation, however, will seem very insignificant to that which will come upon anyone who rejects His grace. For all the unsaved who have ever lived will one day face the great white throne judgment. It is at that time they will be judged and cast into the lake of fire and suffer eternal separation from God. My friends, we've studied these things which will take place in the tribulation. May I remind you that God cannot stand sin, yours and mine. He sent His Son, Jesus, to bear our sins in His body, and He paid the price of death for them at Calvary. You have a choice. You can either put your faith in Christ and receive the forgiveness of your sins because He paid the price for them, or face the awful judgment of God for all of eternity. The choice is yours. And if you've never received Christ as your Savior, I would plead with you to do it right now, there by your radio.
I trust the message you just heard, it will be a real blessing to your spiritual life throughout this next week here at Canada's National Bible Hour. So we always share the gospel, and of course the gospel is very clear. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He lived a sinless life with the goal to go to that cross, and on the cross He bore our sins in His own body as He hung on the tree. He took our place. I deserve to be on that cross paying for my sins, and so did you. But Jesus took our place. He was our substitute, and He died there. And He actually paid off all the sins, and the anger that God has for each and every one of our sins was put on Jesus Christ as He hung on that cross. And because of that, because He was a perfect sacrifice, a sinless sacrifice, He was able to purge our sins. He was able to wipe our sins out. He paid for them, and so we don't have to. Our sins are forgiven. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't sin and we need to confess our sins, because He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But it does mean that we have life and life more abundantly. We're transformed from darkness to light, and we have eternal salvation, and we'll be eternally in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God is really blessed us with the gospel message. I know that you'll really enjoy your copy of the booklet entitled Understanding the Book of Revelation. This is an important booklet that I believe will encourage you and help you grow in your spiritual life. Please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 2010, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. You can also hear past broadcasts at our website at www.missiongo.org. And be sure to remember us in your prayers, and we thank you so much for the gifts and donations that people send in. Trust that the Lord will continue to bless you and keep you throughout this next week.